Hey guys, what's up? It is July 20th, 2018, and this is episode 101 of the Pondering Nerdcast.
Woo! Yeah. Nice.
And I'm one of your hosts, Lance John. I'm here with me as well. There's Makecia Brown and Cortrice Jones as well.
Yes, yes.
The rest of them could not make it because they're all sad that they're not at San Diego Comic-Con.
Yes.
That's what's going on right now as we're doing this show. And we're going to talk about a few things that
just dropped.
From that. But next episode, we're just going to talk solely about San Diego Comic-Con and all the things that happened. So we'll see. Let's start off with some, you know, that we usually do, just with some gadget stuff.
Yes.
You know, nothing from San Diego Comic-Con. So for a while now, if you really haven't been paying attention to cell phone manufacturers or what they are, who they are and stuff like that, then you really don't have any idea what exactly is happening. And pretty much I think last year or the year before, the U.S. government issued a warning against a manufacturer named Huawei, which is spelled H-U-A-W-E-I. I believe that's how it's pronounced, but I could be wrong. It's a Chinese cell phone manufacturer that apparently at one point was some sort of like Chinese government agency or something like that.
Wow.
Or no, the person who runs it was like a He worked in the government? Yeah, for like intelligence or something like that. I could be wrong about that too, but don't quote me on that. But that's what I remember somebody saying that about that company. And it seems so ever since then, you know, the U.S. government has issued warnings via the FBI, CIA, and the NSA not to buy these products. The AT&T and I believe Best Buy also like cut their working agreements with Huawei and everything like that because they felt that because China has such a really strong hold on communication in their country, whereas they monitor everyone's information to look for, mainly because they want to look for dissenters of the Chinese government so they can go after them and stuff like that. They feel that the U.S. government agencies felt that they were trying to do the same here in America where they could pretty much monitor everything that's happening on their phones and everything like that. So apparently Britain doesn't really seem to have an issue with it. but they do have an oversight committee that watches them to make sure they're not bringing in products that although this particular committee says that they cannot guarantee Britain's they can only deal with limited guarantees that Huawei is not spying on us, guys. It's like they're not collecting information for the Chinese government. So apparently they only have like four products they can sell there or whatever the case may be. So so that's something that's been happening for a while. So, you know, because there's been an onset of, you know, me and Mickey has had this conversation before about which products is listening to you, which phones are listening to you and whatnot, and whether or not they're actually doing it. And it's like, are you that important that they need to listen to you?
That's true.
It's like I always say that. It's like, what exactly do you have a reasonable fear of versus like what's the rationale behind that sort of thing? Because Huawei, the funny thing is, I don't remember any of these agencies actually saying that they found proof that Huawei was doing this. It's just that who runs it is an issue. Mostly. So,
Well, here's the thing. There's a number of cases where it's found that the NSA and other government agencies are listening in on us, but randomly, right?
Like
random citizens.
Yeah.
So you don't even necessarily have to be someone of impact to society, to the country. It's just like blanket surveillance and blanket data being saved on you. They've found selective videos of naked women changing.
Of course, why not?
Right, because we're human beings and there's going to be some dirtbag in an agency like that.
Yeah.
who has that kind of power, who doesn't think that they'll get caught because they're usually the ones that catch others doing those acts.
There was a recent
sounds
case
about right.
of some cop that was like a serial killer for a couple of years, and he got found out through 23andMe, I think.
Are you serious?
Yeah. That's a thing.
So even though you've seen articles like that and research like that, findings like that, you still think that the average person shouldn't be concerned about snooping? And it's not even just like
huge
agencies like the NSA. It could be just some company.
Here's the thing. I think you need to have a rational expectation that anything that you are buying or subscribing to that's free or low cost is an expectation of no privacy. If you do not have that when it comes to these type of services, manufacturers, phones, devices, whatever it is, you're being a fool. It's like this might sound controversial to some people, it's like you deserve it because it's like you're not checking what you're doing. Whereas, you know, should the average citizen be concerned? Of course, I think so. But as what do you call it, Internet of Things are starting to explode now, where you can be like, you can literally say, Alexa, turn off the lights, know, or even Amazon
Which
has all these.
That it's constantly listening.
Is listening. Well, that's the purpose of the device. Just like your phones are like that. Sorry, I said Alexa, so I'm sure I'm probably triggered somebody's.
Someone kind of.
Excuse me. Sorry about that. Whereas, like, it's designed that way. And I don't really know, like, right now, I don't know of another way of where, like, a company can't really guarantee. They can say, hey, we're not going to store your voice or record your surroundings and stuff like that. But they kind of have to. If you want this smart device to work and stuff like that, it needs to learn who you are.
Right.
What's going on so it can better serve you. It doesn't have – because I keep telling people, like, I don't think we are five, not even 10 years out for artificial intelligence to be a thing. Like, I'm talking general artificial intelligence. I'm not talking about deep machine learning and stuff like that. They're all different variants of artificial intelligence. Like, people think Google Now is the best thing ever because it's like, hey, Google, la, 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 whatever, you know. It's very just deep machine learning and stuff like that. And they right now, that's how these things work. And that's how they learn. To your point, Mickey, yeah, there's a lot of people out there who are nefarious about this. When we discovered the NSA was like, well, we're just listening to everyone. It's like, we have all this information. Which is always astounding to me. It's like, well, if they can just do this without any sort of government oversight or any sort of committee oversight, why haven't they stopped more crime? Why haven't they solved more mysteries and stuff like that?
Maybe they have, and it's just not making the news, making the rounds.
Maybe. I don't know.
Or maybe they're focusing on the wrong people.
That's true. Like, who says that they won't go and do weird things like recently I read something where the FBI has decided to come up with a new label for black people specifically that are considered black identity extremists who are like, you know, they're very pro-black. They have very controversial statements and stuff like that. There was a man recently actually arrested last year, December, for his statement on Facebook that he stood with the Texas shooter, that he, you know, like he empathized with him and stuff like that. And he didn't empathize with the cops that were killed. Like he was like, eh, whatever, you know, and he was arrested. They treated him like a terrorist. He was not granted bail for 6 months, and then when he actually went to court, the judge threw it out.
Yeah.
But in the interim, he lost his house, he lost his car, he lost his job.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there are different. It's not just your listening devices, but the platforms that you're on.
Yeah.
You know, especially Facebook, which is free. You are the product, and these are things people can just easily click one thing and report you. You know?
So why is it that people like me have this anger towards knowing what these services and products are capable of and the shock that we have as well? Like, is that warranted then? Because I do agree with you. It's not something that we have to use.
No.
We don't.
we're not compelled.
But there's this expectation of privacy.
Yeah, but there's also an expectation of, like, that the company that you're using the product is going to do good things.
Like, right. It's like a double-edged sword sort of thing.
Like, you're hoping that it's, like Facebook, you're hoping that they're not storing your information and then sending you a whole bunch of ads. You're hoping that, you know, they're not targeting you for specific things.
Mm-hmm. Which is like the kind of reasoning that they use in courts, the lawyers and stuff like that. They say that, but when it comes down to it, they don't have to any of that or be concerned about any of that.
Right, because recently I think Mark Zuckerberg got in trouble for stating, he made a statement about the Holocaust deniers. Like, there are a bunch of groups on Facebook this is just a group of people who do not believe that the Holocaust happened. Yeah. You know, there are a bunch of groups like that are like that. They're just deniers of everything.
Yes, like the moon landing.
The earth is flat, yada, yada.
There's a lot.
And Zuckerberg's remarks were like, we can't silence those voices because of freedom of speech. The problem, and because of that, Germany felt this was like over in Germany that he said this and stuff like that. They're like, no, you will abide by Germany's law that you will not have these people interact with our citizens and stuff like that. Because it's very offensive in many ways when you're denying one's past, like in that sense, you know. And it's like,
is it?
But he says,
so, like,
it is. It's
I'm
very.
I'm gonna say, like, okay, there's so many things that can offend people.
To say the Holocaust didn't happen, that's
I believe
pretty
that it
offensive.
Happened, first of all. Second of all, there are so many people who are filled with hate in the world.
Right.
That, to me, is just overwhelming. And, you know, if you focus on one group, you're going to have to focus on all the groups. And Facebook is
that
not
was, that
doing
was,
that for
Yeah, that was
anybody.
Part of their reason. So that was part of their reasoning. Facebook, it says that they're not a communications company.
Yeah.
They're a tech company.
Yeah.
And they're not technically responsible for what happens on their platform, although they do have community standards and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Right.
That technically kind of protect these type of groups.
Yeah.
So it's like, so one must go one for the other, stuff like that. The thing is that a lot of people here in America, I don't know about the rest of the world, but the First Amendment, which is freedom of speech, does not include freedom from consequences.
Mm-hmm.
So you can talk to all this shit.
Like people's addresses being shared online.
Which is illegal.
Yeah. It is illegal.
Do not do that or take part.
Acts of like calling public.
Right.
Acts of violence against groups of people,
right,
and like organizing to terrorize groups of people, you know?
Pretty much, yeah, because it's the same thing like in China, like back to the Huawei thing. It's like right now they have this like Dark Mirror-esque program going on where they identify millions of people every day. They're being watched. They have pinpoint accuracy, almost 100% accuracy that you're who we say you are, and they're watching everything about you. They have this social experiment going on where if you buy too many video games, then you won't get a job or you can't fly, which has already happened. It's already in there, and it's like they're all watching you and stuff like that. So for them to like then have this company go all over the world as a manufacturer, right, something like Samsung. Samsung's a Korean company, and they're having all these back doors and everything like that that hackers can get into easily.
Yeah.
Government who are like, you know, have that sort of like inclination to like interfere with certain things because you have a Huawei phone. So let's get in there and stuff like that. Like Huawei phones are really cheap, very affordable, you know, and they perform like flagship phones. You know, they perform just the same as $1,000 iPhone or whatever it is. And they're not bad phones. It's just that they're not secure. And, you know, the part of the NSA and the CIA and all those guys getting involved is because a lot of soldiers were buying these phones. Because, one, they're CDMA phones, so that means they work anywhere in the world.
Yep.
And they're cheap.
Yep.
You know, you buy an iPhone, you get, I mean, now it works everywhere, but before it wasn't.
It did not.
And even now, it's still hard. It's still hard for people to have technology that works everywhere in the world.
Yeah, because the world has, well, just different countries have different laws and, you know.
Right, yeah.
Certain things don't work.
So it's
That's
like,
how it is.
I can see it's.
Are they even tech savvy enough to be able to thoroughly vet different
who is?
Products. The what is it? The
Huawei.
No.
Oh, the oversight committee.
UK oversight committee. Yeah, what is it called?
It's called the HCSE.
HCSEC.
Yeah. So okay. There's a name here. There's a whole name for it here somewhere. Apparently, it's a UK development telecommunications infrastructure in a company. Yada yada.
It's a government agency.
Yeah, so it's a government agency mixed with.
I've never known of government agencies to be that tech savvy, except for.
Well, I think we're just going off of our own.
I know.
Government.
Yeah, the
I don't
US.
Know. Europe tends to be a little bit more technology forward.
Okay.
Than the U.S. government. U.S. government is slow as hell.
Okay.
You know, the fact that they caught on this quickly about Huawei. Well, the military is not sharing their secrets with the rest of the government. It's like. Not happening. It was like, you know.
Yeah, but, you know, something probably happened in the military. And then
that's
they were probably,
why this triggered.
Yeah. They were like, everybody's been using these phones. Oh, no.
Yeah. Because when you offer a cheap
Wasn't
product.
Was there a fitness app that was tracking where they were?
Yes.
And
mm-hmm. Yeah, on the base. Active someone was running. And yeah.
There was a woman that was I believe lost a murder trial because of a fitness app. No, her Fitbit. Mm-hmm. One of those tracking watches that she claimed she came home and she saw her husband dead at the bottom of the steps. When they checked like the logs on her steps were going up and down these stairs for for 4 hours, and they were like, but then she called. They said, but you said when you got home, but you've been home for 4 hours, but your husband was lying dead in front of you.
Yeah.
So why did you take so long?
I remember.
And I believe she lost a case to that.
Yeah.
So. You got to be, I would say, our caution to this is, like, careful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are a lot of things out there that can track you doing a bunch of different things, you know, where companies, specifically companies and agencies, can take advantage of this information.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, do we want better health, security, life, quality of life and stuff like that? What are you willing to sacrifice for that? You know, if them watching you is an issue, then maybe don't take part.
Well, it's like what Dan Savage says to parents who have preteens and teen kids. Prepare to see your kids' candid photos online because a lot of kids, they take so many
selfies, snap.
And
unlimited
candid photos. You know, like
unlimited
risque
storage.
Photos and shares it with their crushes or whatever, and it's just like it's so commonplace that we really shouldn't be so uptight about it all, and it's all connected. Like, yeah,
be careful,
more revealed.
I've always been a strong advocate of internet etiquette.
Mm-hmm.
Be careful what you put online.
Yeah,
be careful what you. You know, if you don't want this in the hands of companies and stuff like that, don't put it there. You know, it might be a little bit more expensive. Actually, no, it is a lot more expensive. Buy your own shit, you know, so you can have the autonomy that you really want, you know. So, and even then, not everything is autonomy. But, you know, but it is what
it is. It can't go off grid.
It can't. If you want to go, you can go off grid in the mountain somewhere. They probably can still find you.
Yes, they will. If they really want to find you, they're going to
find you. They'll find you. So, you know. Anyway.
Who killed Tupac, though? You know what I'm saying?
Well, as before.
Who killed Biggie? Like,
I don't know if they care enough to, like, pursue those cases.
Yeah.
There should be a serial podcast on that. That should be pretty hilarious. That would be pretty hilarious.
Yeah.
So, next up, Facebook apparently is. So, I use MoviePass.
Oh, okay.
So, and AMC and a bunch of other movie theater companies have been trying to destroy MoviePass for a long time.
Alamo.
Yeah.
They're coming out with their own version.
Right, exactly. Oh, okay. So AMC just came out with it's called the A-List. The A-List. It's like $20 a month. Any AMC theater, and you can see 3 movies a week. You know, whereas MoviePass is $10 a month, and I can watch as many movies as I want at any theater. The ones that I participate in and stuff like that. Now, you know, if you want, I'm not going to go over the whole semantics about, it costs companies in dire straits, yada, yada, whatever. It doesn't matter. But now AMC is grouping up with Facebook to further collect more information on your movie watching habits where you can, and I didn't know this, but apparently according to this article that a lot of people use it to find movies to watch. To like, you know,
Facebook.
To like they go and they look up because a lot of the movies have their pages and stuff like that. Or maybe Universal have like their own Universal page. It's like, oh, this is the latest, blah, 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 blah. Whatever the case may be. And people would go and like its own internet within the internet. So it's like, you know, because back in the day, I think they still do it. Most major movies have their own website.
Yeah. Like you they used to, or I don't know. Do they still
they
do that?
They kind of still do. Yeah. In a way, it depends on how large the movie is, what I've noticed. Like, I know that Marvel doesn't really do that for each of their movies, not anymore. They kind of just kind of like gravitated towards just like, well, this is this free website. We can just use it on. We don't have to pay anything. So, they're looking up with Facebook, so you can find is another option for you to buy movies. So you can buy a movie ticket through this A-list app that they're using and stuff like that. So when you're like going to the movie, like you really want to, like you saw an ad for the latest Batman movie, and it's like, oh, I click on it. It's like, oh, buy tickets here right now. So it's like linked straight through to to whatever purchasing that you're doing. So you can like buy tickets through the A-list app through Facebook. Okay. So it's like, it's just giving people more options and stuff like that.
Is it kind of like the login options where you can log in with Google,
with Facebook?
You can pay with PayPal, pay with Facebook.
It doesn't say.
Okay.
It didn't actually present it any way about it. Yeah. They're just saying that
they're partnering.
You're partnering, and this is another way for you to buy movies.
Okay.
Movie tickets through this this app thing. So it's like, we just got done talking about collecting information.
But is MoviePass actually doing well, though? Like, I swear.
Monetarily?
No.
They're in debt, from what I the last time I checked on them.
Because I thought a lot of people were starting to sign off or, like.
Yeah, a lot of people are on there, but they're still eating the whole eating a hefty
Ligotti
cost.
Thing and nah, that was just.
I haven't heard of anyone, like, leaving MoviePass.
Right, but like the company itself is still eating a hefty cost,
right?
Because of it's $10 a month. Most movie tickets now are like $15.
Yeah,
so they're losing 16, out.
50.
Yeah, they're losing out like $5-6 on every transaction, especially here in New York City. You know why? I think they cover up to like $17 per ticket that you buy, and there is no limit on how many movies you can see in a month. You know, so you can go every day if you want to and watch a movie.
I bet there's someone who's doing that.
Oh, yeah,
Day.
I'm sure. And they don't limit you to which movie you want to see either. If you want to see the same movie every day, you can go through that.
Do either of you know how MoviePass was funded? Was it funded?
Venture capitals? Yeah, mostly. They do like I think they're
do you know how many series?
Oh, no. I have no idea. I have no idea.
Oh, no. Not how many series. How many rounds?
How many rounds of money raising? Yeah. I have no idea. I heard there's another one coming up because they need to pay off their debts.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, I bet they do.
Yeah. I think if MoviePass, because in a way, that $10 a month deal, it's way better than what the other companies are offering. Because there are three or four other companies out there that are doing the same thing. It's just not as widely supported, not, what do you call it?
Cinemia, right? S-I-N-E-M-I-A.
Yeah, and I think they give you like one movie a month or something like that. So and I think the reason why other companies can't do what MoviePass is doing is because of the cost of it. You know, that's, I suspect.
I bet that is. They're like, that it's too expensive and it's going to put them in debt. And they don't want to end up. Like MoviePass.
Exactly. And
even though it might be a good idea, but if the price of admission was a little bit lower, was a lot lower, then it would make sense.
Right.
But it's not.
Yeah.
It's almost $20. So.
Right. And AMC's A-list thing is $20 a month.
Yeah.
And I mean, you do get a lot of different perks. With the AMC subscription, but apparently, like they do, according to this article, they do AMC A-list as low as like $7 a month or $8 a month, which is cheaper.
That is cheaper.
That part is new. I've never actually checked it out.
That's reminding me of the prices of matinees. Remember those?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It used to be cheaper.
They do
on Tuesdays, they do like $5 ticket movie Tuesdays, mm-hmm. AMC and stuff like that. In New York City, there are a lot of AMC theaters. They're just not easy to get to.
Yes. So you can never really do like a $5.
Right.
Unless you're living right next to the AMC
theater.
Yeah.
And then there's the whole. And what the AMC A-List app has that the others don't have is like you can reserve seats.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can pick out your seats ahead of time so you don't have to worry about anything, getting there too late or whatever. Mm-hmm. You have your seat, you know, and it's all on your phone and stuff like that. I believe they even give you discounts on like concessions and stuff like that as well.
So if MoviePass wants to be a contender, they should steal that feature from the other apps, the other services. Like, every other huge tech platform steals features from every other huge tech platform.
Yeah.
MoviePass should just steal.
I think so.
Seating.
But that would mean that you'd have to talk to the theaters.
They would have to get some sort of.
Who knows, maybe. Theaters don't really like them.
No.
And it's just like, so they're not going to help. They're not going to help them.
From the very beginning,
What I have is I didn't know anything about the second plan, but. MoviePass has a $7.95 plan as well.
Oh, okay.
And that gives you 3 movies per month, whereas what I pay for is a $10 a month, unlimited movies.
Mm-hmm. So crazy.
You know what I'm saying? I remember when they first came out, I joined them before anyone knew about this company,
mm-hmm.
before it got the hype that it did. I was paying $30-something a month for this. This is the first round. I was like, that made more sense. The $30-something a month, they're not losing anything.
Yeah.
You know, and then it came out. Well, I guess they plateaued.
But I bet they were thinking a whole bunch of people are going to jump on this because it's $10.
Oh, yeah.
So
change it up later.
Yeah, we'll change it up later and we'll be able to buy, you know, or like pay back our debts, buy all of this if a whole bunch of people come.
Yeah.
But not a lot of people jumped on it. They were like,
oh, wow. That's a good point.
And you know, when you think about joining like AMC,
mm-hmm.
and you're like, but that's like brand loyalty. It's like having the Apple credit card. I can only buy things at Apple.
Yeah.
It's like, you know,
don't they have loyalty cards already? I know Regal does.
They do. But they're like,
I have a Regal card.
Okay.
Me
but
too.
They're like negligible.
Dust
like,
somewhere.
Like it's not worth it because it's not worth it as much as MoviePass is. It's mm-hmm. like I can just go check in, swipe my card, and I'm not paying anything else.
Yeah.
I just paid $10 to see like 4 movies this month. You know what I'm saying? That's amazing.
That is amazing.
It's like, and then on top of that, too, it will cover most of the ticket price on 3D movies
mm-hmm.
or even IMAX. So it's like I'm saving a lot of money.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like. Whereas,
you know, not a lot of people are jumping on it. You know, a lot of people feel might as well just walk there. Like, I literally go to the theater and I'll just pay for a ticket. I can't be bothered to, like, you know, join online. That's another thing I have to have. And it's just like.
That's the downside to, what do you call it? That's the downside to the MoviePass thing is that you cannot reserve your tickets in advance. You have to be there in person.
Yeah.
Which, you know,
it's
I guess
like,
you figured,
I might as well just be there.
Yeah, like going to the Alamo, like the Alamo here in New York, in Brooklyn, it's terrible because it's a small theater.
Yes.
So it sells out really quickly. So we might go there.
It's
like, oh man, I really want to see Ant-Man. We get there sold out. It's
like, you better be there like 2 hours early.
Yeah. And that's the drawback of it. Whereas AMC it's their theaters. You can do a lot more. So it works out better for you.
So maybe they just don't understand their base, their customer base. They just didn't do enough research.
Their needs
and their habits.
I feel like maybe they didn't do enough testing or like.
Yeah,
research.
Like they just didn't.
They just put it out. They thought it was a really good idea. Yeah. People are going to jump on it. And then people didn't.
I have a feeling that MoviePass wanted to do all these specialty features, but the movie theaters wouldn't let them do it.
Yeah.
Because it was it might have been too easy.
Yeah,
something
it takes
something
away.
About it, like, yeah, because it takes away me rushing to the theater, and it kind of takes away their ticket prices, and it kind of takes away.
It's a huge disruptor.
Yeah,
and then movie theaters are already losing money because of streaming.
Like, there's a reason why those like prices are that high. Mm. It's not just because they want to make them high. It's like, you know.
Costs.
Correction. Apparently, the stubs that they called AMC stubs. Mm-hmm. They're that's the A list. They call them, I don't know why they call it's like two names. But apparently, it lets you see three movies a week, every week. So that's pretty cool as well.
Oh, pretty good.
I don't know. Like it's like I said, it does have a lot of perks that you just cannot get
with
Movie Pass or any other. Stuff like MoviePass, really. Mm-hmm. And apparently it includes like IMAX stuff and yada yada and all this extra cool shit.
Well, maybe MoviePass should just get out while the getting's good.
I don't think so.
You How think many, that MoviePass is still
like
worthwhile?
Okay. According to this, there's like 600 plus theaters of AMC theaters nationwide.
That's it?
That's tiny.
That
oh, my god!
Compared to the that's really small compared to the land mass of America.
But they have to do something.
That's true, but you got to think.
They're hemorrhaging money.
You got to think.
I mean, MoviePass,
AMC
yes.
buildings are really big.
To that's
hold
true.
Those amount, like those seats, the amount of screens.
But then, like you guys mentioned before, you have to travel
that's
to
true.
These places.
That's true.
Yeah, they're not easy to get to. So I mean, if you live right next door to one and you just love AMC,
hey,
go ahead. It's 20 good. Bucks a month, you get all this shit. It's
yeah.
like, you know, apparently there's Premier perks too. Let me see, AMC mm-hmm. Stubbs Premier benefits typically $15 slash year plus tax, complimentary. Okay, so they're comping you $15. They enjoy 10% back on food and drink purchases. Okay, and you get to upgrade your sizes for free. For popcorn and fountain drinks. And apparently you get priority.
That's not bad.
Yeah, so, I mean, MoviePass, none of that.
Yes,
like,
none of that.
That. Like I said, online, you know, registration, reservations, I should say. None of that on MoviePass. You know, just tick off those, like, none of this, none of that.
Mm-hmm.
And so pretty much, yeah, pick your movies. Via calendar, pick them and then go.
Yeah.
And
wait, can you download some of the movies? Is that what they
no.
said? No. It said download our six.
Calendar.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay. Yeah. I was about to say, I was like, and you get to download movies?
Now, that was a, I remember a couple years ago, a few directors got together and were like, we should let people download movies that are in the movies.
Mm-hmm.
But charge them around $50 or something like that per movie. Like let them like you download it because they the reason why it was around $50 is because the how many people are actually viewing that at home. So if you're a family of four, right?
Okay.
And tickets are like what, $15 a pop? You know,
yeah.
That adds up. You know?
Yes.
They can't just assume
that
you have a lot of people.
They're going off of census
going,
data.
Yeah.
They're going off of a census data. And that's why they came up with that price. Obviously the movie theaters did not go for that. At all. I mean, there are some movies that have done this, very small ones and stuff like that. But, you know.
Yeah.
They didn't really. It's all about locking in people into mm-hmm. A walled garden and coming there to chill and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
So, and plus, you know, really cool recliner chairs in AMC.
Yeah.
Maybe I sign up for like a month and we'll try it out and then I
will. Why
won't
is care. It every time I go? I never get like the really like the reclining chairs.
I think you gotta pick the specific theater that has it.
Yeah.
Which I don't know.
I don't know which one it is.
You don't know. So, like even like they claim they have IMAX, it's not really IMAX. It's like IMAX 2.5D.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, if you want like a real IMAX, you gotta go up all the way up to Lexington. To like the big theater there that actually has
mm-hmm.
the actual IMAX screen. Whereas everybody else is just kind of, sort of, really.
Yeah.
And it's just another reason why they put an IMAX on there. It's just another way to charge you $20
yes.
for a ticket.
Yes, it is.
Or $21. It's literally, it's not even a real fucking IMAX screen. So Go figure.
Yeah. They give you the little glasses, though.
Yeah, yeah. but yeah, cool. Cool stuff. And before we get into the other stuff, my recommendation for anime this month, I guess. Well, it's actually just a movie, so you can watch it for a day, so it doesn't matter. For this episode, is Godzilla City on the Edge of Battle. Yes, it's on Netflix. It's a movie. If you want to watch something incredibly hopeless and leaving you like, wow, humanity is fucked, well, this is something to watch. This is part two. So
I guess I won't watch it.
It's a very...
I'll just look outside my window.
It's it's bleak. It's not.
I was listening in on when you were watching it, and I was touched by the camaraderie of the soldiers.
Right.
That was pretty...
There's a lot of that.
Pretty touching.
Yeah.
But then I just felt so bad for them all.
I mean, when you're talking about Asian cinema, that's kind of like a thing.
I know. I really feel like that is. Yeah,
and I still get touched every time.
Yeah,
it's nice. So. It's nice.
Yeah,
even
so
it's fantasy.
Yeah, it's Godzilla. So you know, if you want to see some bleak shit, go right ahead. what we got next up here? Let's do the movie real quick. The movie link that we have here.
Yes.
So, this just dropped
like an hour ago or?
Yeah, about 45 minutes ago, maybe an hour ago. I would say an hour ago. James Gunn has been fired from Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 as director. Because, wait for it, he was a shitty human being on Twitter at one point in his life, where he made rape jokes and pedophilia jokes. And I don't know how they got these things, because apparently his Twitter account has been closed.
But they found him.
But they found him. this was 6 years ago. He apologized for it in 2011 in a blog that he wrote. And, I'm seeing some new stuff here that did not show. It looks like they changed the article. Wow. It's like,
okay.
I did not see this part here. It said, this isn't Gunn's first digital era controversy. 6 years ago, he apologized publicly for a 2011 blog that was criticized as sexist and homophobic in an entry titled, The 50 Superheroes You Most Want to Have Sex With. Gunn speculated that Iron Man could turn the lesbian Batwoman into a heterosexual labeled Gambit as a Cajun fruit, and called Batgirl, who is a teenage mother in the comics, easy. Facing a backlash, Gunn said he regretted making poorly worded statements. Oh, so this is like a thing for him. Because what we read earlier was his other jokes on Twitter, which it seems to be removed from the article, because I'm pretty sure we saw that earlier, right?
Yeah.
It's like,
So is it in the article?
It is. It's right here. Apparently, I didn't see this part of the article because I could have. It looks like they added on more.
Yeah, they might have written more or
updated. It did say more to come.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, two of the tweets that they found was back in 2008, between 2008 and 2011.
You know, people are really digging.
They're digging.
Really digging.
They said that the best thing, he said that, he wrote on Twitter, the best thing about being raped is when you're done being raped and it's like, woo, this feels great, not being raped.
And was he a nobody then?
James Gunn? No. He had a few flops.
What was he doing in 2008?
Good question. I don't know.
Did he just not care about his career?
I'll look it up. I bet he didn't think anybody was actually paying attention.
That's probably what it is. He probably didn't have a lot of followers. He didn't really hit any sort of critical acclaim. I know he has, like, I think is he the one that did Iron Giant? I could be wrong about that.
That is so sad if he did. Because that was an amazing
one. I think he's the one that did Iron Giant because, what's his name, plays Groot. The voice of Groot is
Baldi. Vin Diesel.
And he also did the voice for the Iron Giant. and they have a close working relationship and whatnot.
That is really sad. Sad.
Let me see.
Oh, I guess he's not. He wasn't doing anything in 2008.
Probably not.
Like I'm okay.
He also made Slither and Super, which are like cult classics and whatnot.
Oh, Slither.
Yeah. Which I remember for that. This prob. Oh, he's doing the Starsky and Hutch TV series apparently. Yeah. So around 2008, he wasn't really doing anything noteworthy.
Yeah.
It seems like he came off the whole Scooby-Doo thing and...
And then he was just making...
Then he did the Slither thing, which... Well, he wrote it. He didn't direct it.
Well, it seems that he was doing PG porn.
Yeah, whatever that is.
For... for about, like, a year?
Yeah, for, like... Yeah, about a year. And then he did Do Hard or Do... whatever that is. Then he did Super, which got him some again. Then he did Lollipop Chainsaw, which is a video game. And then after that, his career seems to like kind of taken off a little bit more from that. But before that, he wasn't really doing much. I don't see the Iron Giant here, so maybe I'm wrong about that. I'm checking IMDb, by the way. So it could be somebody else that did Iron Giant. So I could be completely wrong about that. But yeah, in between those years, it seems like his career wasn't. He was working, you know? So there's that. Can't really beat that.
Yeah.
But pretty much Disney fired him for those remarks and whatnot because he made fun. Like, he apologized for that, then apparently wrote some more crap, apologized for that too. and.
What a joke.
Just kept on going. And
it was Brad Bird.
Brad Bird. Yes, yeah. Sorry, Brad Bird, to like link you to all this. so apparently he was supposed to be at this year's Comic-Con. He's no longer been disinvited.
Mm-hmm.
So he was supposed to do a thing with Sony. So that's not happening. And yeah. Sorry. That's it. He's done.
Sorry, not sorry.
And I'm not sorry either because, come on, when you're saying things like this and it's Disney. Like, no matter how people want to look at Disney as this evil, like, conglomerate, it's still a, you know, children-friendly, family-friendly.
He's pig-headed.
Right, yeah.
Come on.
So maybe he thought that because he was stuck in TV land that no one cared. Like, I've heard other... people who work on projects that are really big, but they're not the front runner of that particular fame, so they can say whatever they want.
Yeah.
And if you're like, oh, nobody listens to me.
It's like, until you get big.
Until people start listening to you.
Yes.
So, you know, that's neither here nor there. So, bye-bye, James Gunn. Never knew ye. Anywho, moving on. More comic stuff.
Yes.
So... trailers. Woohoo!
Woo!
Let me turn this down before it blasts in our ears.
Yes. <It's> like,
Nest commercial. No, we don't actually have a Nest commercial, but we are watching one. As it, oh, there's a tag your home, and I don't know what this does. This looks like a
security.
Fake. It seems like a fake device.
Yeah, it does. But it something seems, about security.
It seems like something that was at a thing.
Maybe because so many people keep forgetting their security codes.
Oh, so they're just like NFC it.
Mm.
You're like, boop, boop.
A fob.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay.
Cars have that.
To disengage it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So San Diego Comic-Con is in full swing. There are a few things that came out that are video related.
Yes.
Most notably, Young Justice, Outsiders, trailers that just dropped. And I now believe them because I didn't believe they were actually going to come back out with another season of the show.
Yeah.
I don't even know if there's going to be another season after this season because of just the way... I don't even know if they have the same writers or anything like that. I saw the trailer. It looks decent.
Yeah.
It seems like they're going at it at like an underground thing, yada, yada. Mm-hmm. And they're showing off a lot of action. And that's not really what drew me to Young Justice in the first place. It wasn't the action. It was the stories. It was the way the characters were written and how they were all young and trying to grapple with being in the shadow of bigger heroes and stuff like that to make their own path. So it's like, that was like my thing with it. And I honestly didn't care about the action. The action was really good, don't get me wrong. But the story is what matters to me. And
I liked how they interacted with each other. That was what.
Yeah, yeah. They were like relationships. People broke up. You know?
And it was like if you were a superhero and you were going through all of this. And a teen. You know, you're going to have some problems.
Exactly. And like
the self-growth.
Yeah. So it was just like, it's interesting. Like they put out like a 5-minute trailer where they're like recapping like 2 seasons worth of story, which does not do it any justice whatsoever. And I would implore people to like go and watch Young Justice season 1 and 2 right now. Catch up on that story, and so that you can prepare to spend another. Well, how much does the DC Universe thing cost? I forgot what it's called.
$74.99.
God damn. Is that for the whole year?
Yeah.
Oh, annual. Jesus Christ.
But you know what? There are some things worth going broke over.
I mean,
some collections.
If you're a Disney diehard fan,
like, worth it.
Not Disney, sorry, DC.
Diehard fan, then
sure.
I have always wanted the Twilight Zone Ultimate Collection.
Uh-huh.
And I still to this day can't afford it, but I still want it.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it's true. You know, there are things worth.
Yeah, yeah. So it's like the new season looks like it's going to be about meta-human smuggling. So human trafficking, pretty much.
Yeah.
And collecting them for what? Who knows? Because at the end of season 2, what we saw was... what's
spoilers.
His name? You know, spoilers. Yes, I should say that. What's his name? Scarface guy. I forgot his fucking name. He's so uninteresting to me.
That's okay. We'll move on.
He met with Doomsday, which usually means not good for humans at all. Because he doesn't care about life whatsoever. He's a lot like Thanos in many
ways. Cares about life. Yeah, it's always like that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, no, sorry. His name is Darkseid. I call him Doomsday. he doesn't care about human. Well, he doesn't care about life literally in any universe or any planet or anything like that. And he's obsessed with this like equation of life and stuff like that. And overall, where it's like I'm guessing this is why they're gathering so many different metahumans or people who test positive for these
the
metahuman
genes
and stuff like that. And apparently there's a way to activate it because they did mention that at some point in the trailer. So there's going to be a lot of experimenting, I would hope to see, I guess, to see what people can do. We did see Black Lightning, Static Shock, which is really cool.
Yeah, we did. Yes. They really threw in the kitchen sink.
Kraven the Hunter.
The kitchen sink is in here.
Oh, no, not Kraven the Hunter. What's the other guy's name? I forgot his name. He's like a hunter. He's like Kraven the Hunter, but not the same guy. Pretty much, Deathstroke is in here. A lot of stuff is going on.
Black Lightning.
Blue Beetle is back, and it seems like the other world that opposed Darkseid is also here.
Mm-hmm.
Lex Luthor is here. There's no mention of the bigger heroes like Superman and Batman or anything like that.
I always wonder about that. Like, what the hell are they doing? Are you guys under a cave? Like under
bigger
a rock?
Shit, I guess. Even though the Teen, not the Teen Titans, even though the Young Justice have solved like earth-shattering decisions. It's like it's been like, oh no, this is some shit. This is some
like,
shit.
Yeah, maybe the older heroes should get involved. Maybe no.
This is some shit. And so that dropped. And there was another trailer that came out.
Oh, there's a bunch of other planets.
They do go there a lot and stuff like that. But it's still they're protectors of Earth, so it's like that they should be.
Yeah.
At least the vicinity.
They should be on Earth, hopefully. Or close to it.
Pretty much. And the other trailer that dropped was the live-action version of Teen Titans, which is called Titans.
Yes.
That was dark.
It
bloody,
was. It was.
Mature. It's like...
Well, in my opinion, it was really bad looking. I don't know.
It looks fan-made.
Yeah.
It looks like somebody with too much money, right? Like you're just like one of those really big DC fans. And I'm going to talk about the Aquaman stuff. But it's like, I'm a real big DC fan, so I'm going to rent a bunch of cameras and hire some unknown actors to do stuff.
Mm-hmm.
and we'll go from there, which is pretty interesting overall. It's, I don't know, I just thought to myself, wow, this is...
I don't know, it was just dark. It was dark for no reason, though. Like, Teen Titans, yes, they deal with some pretty heavy issues.
Yeah.
But it's never that dark. Like, I mean...
It's never got serious. Like, there was a...
I mean, there were serious moments in there, but there were a lot of, like, there was levity. It wasn't just, like, dark for the sake of being dark.
Right, yeah. And it's like, is this the trailer? Doesn't look, nope, that's no. Not the trailer. This is something. See, this is what I'm talking
about.
Like,
band-aid.
People are making stupid trailers of, let me see. I don't know why I can't find this. I guess I'm just going to go to the website.
Yeah.
DC Comics.
No, I think it's, oh, okay. Well, okay. Well.
This one looks like it. So apparently Robin says, fuck Batman.
I didn't really care. Because when he said it, he sort of like stared directly at the camera, and I was just like, come on now.
He's like, this means we're serious,
yeah,
man.
And I was just like,
look
come
how serious
on.
We are. I
knew you. Come on.
It was like, and I think that I feel like this is like a jab at the Teen Titans Go franchise that's
yeah.
happening.
But why are we going into two different spectrums? So dark that it doesn't make sense, and
right.
so light that it also doesn't make
sense. Like, they're just like one extreme of the other.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, everybody's favorite was the Teen Titans,
yeah.
the first one, which was like, people were like, that was like a pretty
That was
good,
my favorite one.
Yeah. And they showed that the Robin, the little Robin
symbol,
shuriken star
yeah.
or whatever thing. And we see him like fight a bunch of bad guys in an alleyway, kills a few of them apparently.
He
broke
yeah,
some
he
dude's neck.
Yeah.
And I'm not thrilled with some of the character that what they're showing off as characteristics for the different the different Titans.
Yeah.
Like, we haven't seen Cyborg.
Well, I don't think he's showing up.
Which is crazy. There, like I said, there's a lot of blood. You do see Starfire. Which
I don't like Raven.
Like,
she's getting on my nerves.
Raven looks like a moody goth teen.
She looks like someone from Hot Topic.
Yeah, pretty much. And we saw Beast Boy, which we haven't really seen Beast Boy do anything besides his eyes glowing and just jumping
But
around.
I was like, you know what? At least he sort of looks like the character. Like, I'll take it.
Yeah.
He's sort of, he's still thin.
Yeah.
And he's painted green, so I'll take
right.
it. I'll
yeah,
take it.
Yeah, yeah. So it is what it is with that. And that's going to be available on the DC Universe app. So, you know, if you want to get in on that, that's how you're going to watch it.
Yeah.
So.
And I guess I'm not going to watch it then.
So, those are some of the stuff that came out from San Diego Comic Con. But next week, we'll definitely talk about
that. Yeah, we'll really
that in full.
Cover.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's about it for the comic stuff. Now we have the haiku
music.
Stylings of Mickey.
That's right, y'all. I'm about to get real deep.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This haiku was inspired by my never having any money. And yet, I want to go to so many different concerts. Okay. Janelle and Band Cake perform in New York City, broke pockets and dreams. Yes. I hope you guys enjoyed that.
That was cool.
Thank you. Good night.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
I'm just always broke, and I can't go to concerts, and it really hurts because I'm in New York City, and there's so much good music here. But I love the local music scene, and a lot of the stuff here is free, so thank God for that.
Okay. Well.
And Lance couldn't care less.
Well, it is what it is.
Okay.
It is what it is. So we have anything else, Quatrice, in the music corner stuff?
Yes, we do. So what was this? On Tuesday,
mm-hmm.
Destiny's Child, Michelle Williams, went to seek some mental health.
Okay.
Yes.
That's cool.
You know, she's talked about being depressed and suicidal. Hmm. So, you know, she decided to actually, you know, do something about it and go into a hospital. I think it was a hospital.
Okay.
And, you know, seek some help. I don't know if people have been the best, have been very receptive over it all that much.
Noteworthy people have, yeah. Missy Elliott reached out and said, yeah, I applaud you for being so open about that. So I thought that was really cool.
Yeah.
And an original Destiny's Child member, Latavia, I don't know Robinson. Her last name. Mm-hmm. But
Robinson.
Okay, Robinson. Yeah. You know, she also offered messages of support, too. And I can't help but thinking that a part of the depression was caused by Destiny's Child. I mean, she said that it was a lot of pressure being in such a huge band.
Right.
But also, she had to deal with Beyoncé's dad, and that's not easy.
She mentions that?
Well, I'm just saying because nobody gives a shit about my opinion. So, but like,
no, don't say things that one day you might be.
Might come back to haunt us.
Okay, well, you know
she does
what?
She does not. I don't see her list, so we should say.
I don't care about Matthew Knowles at all.
I don't think a lot of people do.
Yeah. Like so, yeah. I can't imagine what she went through being in a band like this. Just seeing how the public eye and all the information that came out about the original two members that eventually left / got kicked out, what they went through. I don't know. I applaud her for being honest, though, because so many musicians have lived through mental illness and
isn't that typical though?
Yeah, it almost.
I feel like that's like. I mean, I'm not making light.
Well,
of...
I didn't get to finish my point.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Go
but
ahead.
Keep going. Keep going.
I was pretty much alluding to that so many artists. We're talking about musicians, but so many artists deal with mental illness, and a lot of them are very honest and open about it, and
true.
That's cool. Yeah. So hopefully their fans will also be receptive of, being honest when they themselves live through it.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it almost feels like the art industry in itself is like, I don't want to say maybe like based off of or like built upon people like the artists themselves being depressed or because they make good music or they make good art when they're sad.
They don't really help them.
Yeah, they don't help them.
They don't offer them any help whatsoever.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with like them not helping them. I don't know if they're based on anything.
It's a saying, but like, you know, now I forgot the saying. But it's something like a starving artist. Like, they're based, or it's like, it's built upon being in like a really bad situation. Like, you've got
no
money.
Financially.
I mean, yeah, but it's just like.
Starving artist?
That's financial,
like
but.
Yeah, yeah.
There's other like. All these other situations where it's like it feels like it's just built like, you know, they want that sort of spotlight or something that like makes them stand out, if that makes sense.
So not the industry, but the artists.
Society. That's what my point leads into, because I think fans, people who consume music and stuff like that, the industry itself has a part to play in this, but we don't uplift happy artists. They don't make a lot of money. They don't get critical acclaim because a lot of people, I feel like psychologically, a lot of people have an aversion to positivity when it comes to music.
So you think Beyoncé's mentally ill?
No, I'm not saying. I'm not
Justin
saying.
Bieber.
Justin Bieber. That's not what we're saying. Going through his own
thing. I'm saying the industry, the psyche around that industry. Who are the artists that we celebrate? The ones that are dead, right? Marvin Gaye.
Yeah.
Had all kind of problems, but we love his music. You know, Van Gogh, crippling depression, had his ear cut off. We love his art.
Michael Jackson.
You know, suffered with God knows what kind of depression. We love these artists. Lauryn Hill, from what she's presented to us, seems like she had some psychological break.
Yeah,
years
Whitney
ago.
Houston.
Whitney Houston, drug, like, we love these artists. Kanye West is another one. These are people who are like the one who just died recently, Extension, whatever his name is.
Oh,
like,
XX.
Right.
Tension.
He's an abuser. Like, we uplift these people. Whereas there are artists out there, like, the only happy artist I can think about that kind of made it big, Moby, maybe? I don't know. Or Weird Al to some weird degree. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And he's a comedian. So it's like,
are you talking about singers only?
It doesn't matter. Artists.
Yeah.
Well, okay. So
if
we're sticking with music and stuff like that, who are the musical artists that have the biggest critical acclaim? Name me one that doesn't have a mental issue or didn't have some sort of issue.
I'm not their doctor, so
I'm just saying the ones that outwardly said they had some sort of issue, substance abuse, mental issues. We saw them have a breakdown and stuff like that. Who are the ones that are celebrated? Who do we as a fandom celebrate? Like, name one that's been so big, right, and didn't have some sort of issue.
That we know of?
Yeah.
Wait, what's the question?
Name
a huge artist that didn't have a mental issue?
Mental or substance abuse.
Beyonce!
Beyonce has, she's expressed emotional distress with her father and everything like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because of being human. I mean.
She's expressed it. She has a scandal with her husband cheating on her, stuff like that. I'm not saying, here's the thing I'm trying
to
say.
But mental illness is not, I'm super distraught over something happening in my life.
We don't know if she is or isn't.
No, we don't. Because
she's
but
never
you said
actually,
who's out there about mental illness.
Right.
So I don't want to have blanket statements being
that's
said
true.
About
okay.
artists.
Maybe not
that's
general.
That's fine. But I'm
Let's
just saying.
Not
there are too many artists in the world who are noteworthy. Some people don't know who Beyonce is in the world. So, but for us.
I don't know.
You know, I don't want artistry to be a direct correlation with mental illness because I don't think that's fair at all.
You think so?
I do think that when you're an artist, you want to express what you're going through no matter what, but it doesn't mean that you're mentally ill.
I'm not saying I'm not talking only about mental illness. I'm talking about,
we are. That's the topic.
No.
Well, we're not saying
it's
that
more
all
than
of them,
that.
Like,
okay.
So, okay, maybe there are, so there probably are artists out there, you know, who are signed by a label who make happy music or are just, you know, really feeling themselves. They're in a good place. But I feel like the industry itself sort of has built, like, they've built a sort of,
the hurt artists.
Yeah, like,
I have issues, so let me put it in my music and make
Yeah,
it,
so
make money
we have a lot of
it.
Music that are put out by, like, you know, really artists that are in a bad place, for example. But they get real big, and we're all like, yeah, you know, because we can relate to them. A lot of music is because we relate to them.
Right.
So we're not.
They talk about real life stuff.
Yeah, so
whatnot.
A lot of
Mary
those.
Mary J. Blige, her abusive.
Yeah, so a lot of those, like, musicians go through a lot of things, and they make great music, and that's not, we're not putting that into question. But it also makes the industry look real bad when a lot of their artists are like, I have to go into a rehab. I've got to do this, you know, to get myself on track.
Right.
Because
why
music
is the label
industry,
not stepping up to help her out?
Yeah, because the music industry didn't help them. Like,
yeah.
They're there. They know that this is probably happening, but they are like, yo, just keep putting out the music.
Hey, he put it in the music, man. It's okay. You got mental problems. You got depression? Talk about it in the music.
It can also do with the genre, too. Blues. It's blues.
That's true.
No. Nope. Go listen to rhythm rap. Hardcore, blues. Hardcore rap has it. Hip hop has it.
Okay, you know, but rap came from angst. Rap came from a need for expression about the hardships that society has put upon a certain group of people.
You don't agree?
No.
Okay.
Well, and it's cool to disagree.
Yeah. So, we're out of time, guys. Definitely check out the Pondering Nerdcast on giftedsounds.com and also on Stitcher. I'm about to say SoundCloud. We're not on SoundCloud. iTunes and Google Podcasts. Maybe one day we might be on SoundCloud. I don't know. Whatever. I don't know why SoundCloud came to mind. But you can find us wherever podcasts are served. Just look for Pondering Nerdcast. You can also find us on Twitter and also Facebook. And pretty easy to find. Our logo has changed into a nice bright blue and white black thing. So check us out there. All right. Later, guys.
Bye.
Bye.